So we have been doing a short series to start the year called Old Truths for a New Year. And what we're doing in this series is we are looking at kind of four ancient core truths of the Christian faith, and we are seeing how they apply to us as we consider a new year of 2019. The goal of these sermons is to try and be kind of practical and think practically about how we can approach 2019 through the lens of these old and ancient and beautiful truths. The truth that we're going to look at today can be found in our passage for today, which is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. You can find that on page 816 of the Black Pew Bible if you have one of those. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Lord, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The ancient truth that we're looking at this morning from this passage is the truth that Jesus Christ is all sufficient for us, that he is more than enough for us, and in him is where we find our rest. It's about this time of year that everyone is talking about what the big trends, big ideas, and big events are going to be in 2019. It's normally framed around some sort of prediction, as if to say 2019 will be the year of the whatever. So in the world of fashion, according to my research on Google anyway, 2019 will be the year of the top-handled handbag, beige Amir dresses, and would you believe, tie-dye. Yes, you heard it here first. In the world of travel, 2019 is apparently going to be the year of wellness vacations, with travelers planning spiritual pilgrimage, health enrichment, and meditative retreats into their journeys. And in the world of food, 2019 will be the year of North African or Sri Lankan cuisine. No one can seem to make up their mind, but one of those we're going to be eating. And there are some people who spend this month of January reading all of the blogs, articles, and Pinterest pages in order to make sure that they are on point with their purchases, their planning, and their practices in 2019. You want to make sure that you are on trend, that if 2019 is the year of the top-handled handbag, that you have one, and you have one in January. Well, I can tell you one thing that 2019 will not be the year of. 2019 will not be the year of the Christian. Now, that seems pretty harsh, maybe a touch on the negative side. But I can just about guarantee you that 2019 will more than likely be the hardest year of your life to publicly confess that you are a Christian. No one is out there predicting that 2019 will be the year where church becomes the new experience that everyone is dying to try. No one is saying that instilling Christian values into your children will become a growing trend in parenting. No one is foreseeing that the Christian vision for marriage will be front and center in 2019 relationship trends. In reality, it's more than likely that 2019 will be the complete opposite. For the last few decades, public Christianity has progressively become more and more on the nose in our society. While we're yet to face any real open persecution, our society has become less and less tolerant of our beliefs and practices. I reckon most of us would have felt a growing unwillingness to admit our faith in social or work environments. And so as we look to present ourselves to the world in 2019, there is a massive temptation to present our fashion trends, our travel experiences, our food journeys in full colour, to talk about all the new skills or courses of education or employment situations that we're going to experience, to champion our sporting team's chances this year, our favourite musicians, or the captivating movies we're looking forward to seeing, but to remain silent about our faith. Because 2019 is going to be the year of top-handled handbags, wellness vacations, and African food, it's easy for us to share about the things that line up with these fashion trends, but to feel apprehensive about declaring our faith in a context where it is fast falling out of favour. The passage we read today will most likely be familiar to many of you. It's a beautiful and deeply meaningful passage to those who follow Jesus. But while many of us would remember the passage, few of us would remember the context it comes in. In this section of Matthew's gospel, Jesus has been explaining to his disciples the fate of those who had rejected him and the God who sent him. Look back to verse 20 of Matthew chapter 11. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. And then Jesus goes on to name two of those cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and explain how they would receive severe punishment on the day of judgment because they had seen the mighty works displayed in the very Son of God, and yet they did not receive him. They rejected the clearest revelation of God that the world had ever seen. But it's not so much the idea of judgment that this passage comes in the context of. And I want us to focus on the reality that Jesus, the Son of God, had been rejected by the world he came to save. Sure, he had his disciples. Crowds of people had flocked to him at various times to see and receive his miracles. But on a whole, many people had turned their backs on him. His disciples knew it. His disciples had in some part experienced it. The reality is the year of 30 AD or whatever year this was also not the year of Jesus. Jesus was not in fashion. In fact, many of the powerful and influential cities had completely rejected Jesus. So all who were listening to him, his disciples and the people who came out to see his miracles, were well aware of the climate of the day. They knew Jesus was out of favor. They knew that the powerful and influential people had rejected him. They knew that following Jesus would not be popular or fashionable. And so it's to these people that Jesus calls in our key passage today. People who lived in a year that wasn't the year of Jesus. And so as we recognize how quickly Jesus and his church have drifted out of favor in our society, we need to hear the call of Jesus in this passage. We need to hear it for the glorious encouragement that it is. This morning we're going to be encouraged to come to Jesus and trust him in spite of the fact that 2019 is not going to be the year of Jesus. We're going to see two reasons why coming to Jesus or continuing to cling to Jesus in 2019 won't be fashionable, but it will be of greatest advantage to you. There aren't too many clearer pictures of helplessness than a small child who has lost her monkeys in a playground, or a shopping center, or an airplane. The child generally just stands completely still, or even just flops to the ground, lets out a wail that seems to know no end, and doesn't matter what you do, you cannot placate her. It's like this little fully functioning human has somehow forgotten how to function in that moment. They can't do anything. They can't say anything legible. They can't help themselves in any tangible way. They are at a complete loss. And the thing is that this state of complete loss actually drives away any potential helpers. Most people who see and hear the child want absolutely nothing to do with her. In fact, pretty much everyone around the child begins to get frustrated with her, to the point of mumbling something under their breath about the incompetence of the parents or how the child would have never got away with that in their day. This picture of weakness, dependence, helplessness drives everyone around to frustration, annoyance, and even hatred. Everyone, that is, except for one person, the parent. While everyone else's tolerance of this child has vanished, the parent in their heart is driven to deeper care and more urgent affection. Not because they're some sadist who enjoys listening to the wail of a child, but because they have a deep love for her. And they know how she desperately needs that love right in this moment. They are annoyed by the sound of the tantrum as much as the next person. And potentially they are even more concerned about any misbehavior associated with the tantrum. But the picture of weakness, helplessness, and dependence before them still captivates their heart to be that which the child can cling to in her brokenness. In verse 25, Jesus declares, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Off the back of the powerful and influential towns that had rejected Jesus, he praises his Father as the one who does receive little children. It is not the strong and independent towns that received Jesus, it was the weak and dependent little children. Here Jesus is saying that God is like the ultimate parent, the ultimate father. While the rest of the world was busy looking for strong and influential things, while the rest of the world was frustrated by the weak, helpless, and broken, God's heart was bent towards them in love. Love that drove him to send his son to these very weak and dependent children. And here's the reality. In our world, your brokenness, your weakness, your helpless, that which makes you dependent on others, is a stumbling block to you being liked, accepted, and loved. Those who wrestle with mental illness in our world are often ignored. Those who suffer with chronic illness are shafted to the fringes of society. Those who battle with addiction, anxiety, or depression are pushed out of the limelight. Those who are needy are often left with nobody to care for them. Those who are old and frail are often forgotten. As a world, when confronted by weakness, dependence, or helplessness in others, we have a terrible habit of being like all the other parents in the park when the child is having that tantrum. We look down, we avert our eyes, get frustrated or judgmental and thank our lucky stars that it isn't us that has to deal with it. But not so for our God and Father. Not so with Jesus Christ the Son. While the heart of humanity hardens at the thought of the dependence of others, the heart of God yearns to be the one they can depend on. Jesus says that this was God's gracious plan, that out of his gracious and loving heart, he looks down on those who are children, not those who are wise and understanding, strong and influential. He looks down on those who are weak and dependent children. And he reveals himself and his plan for salvation to them. What this means is simply stunning. It means that your weakness, your brokenness, your helplessness is not a turnoff to God. Your dependence drives him to be the one that you can depend on. God the Father revealed the truth of his Son, the truth of salvation, only to those who were children, who were weak, who were dependent, who were overlooked by the rest of the world. The first reason to cling to Jesus in 2019, despite the fact that the world has rejected him, is because the rejected Jesus knows how to care for those who are weak, broken, helpless, and rejected by this world. Your dependence doesn't turn him off. It drives him to be the one on whom you can depend. Jesus sees our brokenness, he sees our weakness, he sees our dependence, and he longs to reveal himself as our strength. He longs to reveal himself as one to whom we can cling. So the first reason to cling to Jesus in 2019 is because no brokenness, weakness, or helplessness within you will turn him off. He will be the only one, maybe, who will seek you out in your mess and bring you to wholeness and let you trust in him. I know plenty of people who have rejected Jesus, grew up in the church, but eventually walked away from the church, wanting nothing to do with the Christian faith, and mainly for one reason. They got sick of living a life they perceived to be too much effort. They viewed Christianity as a system of rules, a regime of religious duty. And they simply didn't want to embrace all of this and the hard work that went along with it. In their minds, always having to think about what's right and what's wrong, having to limit their pursuit of pleasure, having to choose the right things to do even when it was costly, was all too much. And they were lured away by the promise of a life that was free and easy, where they could choose what they wanted to do based on their own feelings, not on someone else's rules. But the reality is that all of those people are still working hard, perhaps harder than ever. Some are striving to maintain the level of luxury that they have become accustomed to. Some are wrestling to further their careers and gain influence in their field. Some are battling through relationship difficulties because of decisions that they have made. Some have been struck down by life and they're desperately trying not to become irrelevant. Some are toiling to build an image of the perfect life so that they can be the envy of their friends. They abandoned the church. They walked away from Jesus because they thought it was too much hard work, that they would be trapped in some regime of rules, only to find that outside of the church, outside of Jesus, the world can be just as hard a taskmaster. In the end, the decision was based on two ideas that they believed to be fact. One, they believed that the gods of this world would be easy on them, would be kind to them, would give them the freedom they longed for. And two, they assumed that Jesus was a hard taskmaster, that he would bind them up that he would lock them into something they didn't want to do. But if we look at these famous words of Jesus, we realize that they were wrong on both counts. After having spoken against all the people who had rejected him, Jesus declares in verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This statement implies two things. One, people are desperately looking for rest. In other words, the life of rejecting Jesus is not as footloose and fancy-free as people assume it to be. And two, the life of following Jesus should look like the most restful life imaginable. Jesus' statement cuts right to the heart of the thesis of our generation. It contradicts everything that we have been told. Perhaps you were here this morning thinking, how can any religion, let alone Christianity, be restful? Nothing about the idea of religion seems restful. It always seems like discipline or a hard line or hard work. Well, as Jesus unpacks this beautiful truth, I want us to open our minds to the possibility that what he offers is far more restful and far more satisfying than we can possibly imagine. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke was a piece of wood that bound oxen together. This enabled the farmer to take control of the beasts and drive them for his purposes. Not really a good start or a good example if you're trying to give the idea of rest. What's Jesus doing here? Jesus is using this idea of a yoke kind of like a contradiction. He's saying that everything you bind yourself to in this life is a yoke. Everyone who offers you something is offering you a yoke, but his yoke is going to be vastly different. See, he adds these words, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." So when Jesus puts his yoke upon you, when you come under his yoke, it's not for his benefit. It's not so that he can drive you and get you to do what he wants. It's so that you can be blessed. It's so that you benefit, so that you learn. In other words, when you come under the yoke of Jesus, he gives you more good, more blessing, more benefit than he gains out of that relationship. By being under his yoke, you are the one who learns. You are the one who grows. You are the one who benefits. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart." Jesus' rationale for why he will benefit those under his yoke rather than use them is based on his character. Jesus' character. He is gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus is humble and caring. And this flows over to the way that he treats people. He does not lord this yoke over them. He does not crack the whip when they fall behind. He is gentle and humble of character, so gentleness and humility flow from him even when you are under his yoke. It's kind of like you attach yourself to something and you get what it has to offer you. And if you attach yourself to Jesus, you get gentleness and humility. You will find rest for your souls. The specific kind of rest that Jesus offers is a deep rest, a rest for your soul. Just about everything in this life sells you rest as a reward. If you clean your room, then you can have screen time. If you study for your exams, then you can go on uni holidays when they are all done. If you work for 45 years and build up a good industry super fund, you can retire and play lawn bowls and bingo. And even in virtually all religions, the premise is discipline now and life of rest later. But Jesus flips this on its head. Jesus says simply coming to him gives you deep and satisfying soul rest. It's all yours in full the moment you come to him. You don't have to work hard to get rest in the Christian faith. You don't have to prove yourself in order to gain his favor and get rewarded with rest. The moment you come to Jesus, he simply offers this rest to you graciously for free. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To be under Jesus' yoke is to be under a yoke that is lifting you up rather than pushing you down. In essence, Jesus is saying, I'm kind of under the yoke with you. You are hitched to him and he is lifting you up. He is taking the strain so that you are carried along in his strength. Jesus is saying that being under his yoke will be the most satisfying place that you can be in this world. In fact, it's the only place in this world where you will truly find rest. Where else will you find one who will put more effort in for your benefit than they will ever take from you? One whose character is dripping with gentleness and humility. One who will accept you and give you rest regardless of who you are or what you have done to earn it. One who will take all of the strain of the yoke so that you are lifted up rather than pushed down. And think about how Jesus proved all of this, how he proved himself to be the provider of this deeply satisfying soul rest. In order to enact this gracious blessing of rest to us, Jesus paid for it with his own life. Jesus took the full weight of our brokenness and sin upon him so that the burden would be lifted off our backs. The image of Jesus carrying his cross to the hill of Calvary, bearing a burden, is the image of him bearing our burden, our weight. That is the yoke that Jesus offers you. He takes all of the strain and offers you all of the rest. And second reason to cling to Jesus in 2019, despite the fact that the world has rejected him, is because the rejected Jesus is the only one who has bared the burden that causes our turmoil in this life so that we can be gifted rest. So, Rosalie Church, cling to Jesus this year, because he cares for us in our brokenness, our helplessness, our dependence, by offering us a truly deep and satisfying rest for our souls. Make 2019 the year you rest in Jesus, even if it is not the year that Jesus is fashionable. But I want to finish by thinking about what this looks like practically. What does resting in Jesus actually look like? I can send you out of here and say, go rest in Jesus. And you're like, yeah, how? Three things. Stop thinking that everything hinges on you. Too easily we fall into this mindset, a mindset that is driven to work, panic, and stress because we feel everything relies on me. The sanity of my home, the spiritual growth of my children, the stability of my life, the furthering of the gospel. I must work and panic and stress about all of this because all of it depends on me. This is why we lie awake at night. This is why we find it hard to get to sleep. Because when we sleep, we're out of control, aren't we? The world has to keep turning without us. Life has to keep moving without us. We find it hard to sleep because everything depends on me. If this is you this morning, you need to know that Jesus cares more deeply about all of this than you ever will. And he is in control and his way is best. Yes, we do have to care about the things in our lives and even work hard to help the world around us flourish. But it doesn't ultimately depend on us. Much is outside of our control. But it is under the control of the one who loves us more deeply than we can imagine. When we rest from thinking that everything hinges on us, we're resting in the arms of the one who is in control and whose control is dripping with love and care and grace and our best interests in mind. Firstly, to rest in Jesus means stopping this ludicrous idea that everything hinges on me. Secondly, stop believing that you have to be healthy, strong, and perfect to be loved. Maybe you're at a low point of health or confusion or ability this morning. Maybe your life has been falling apart around you. It's easy to think that in these moments that we are out of favor with God. And so what we do is we work at building a facade of strength and wellness and okayness in order to be accepted at home, at church, amongst our friends, or out there in the world. If this is you this morning, you need to know that your wellness doesn't limit God's affection for you. In fact, what we have seen this morning, if anything, it intensifies God's affection for you. Because he is the God who is close to the lowly. Stop trying to make out that everything is okay and rest in the knowledge that Jesus loves you regardless of how your life is going. This is what it means to rest in Jesus, to trust him to be honest, to trust him to be honest with how you are feeling, not just in the private moment you share with him, but in the world around you. It's okay to come to church and say, life stinks at the moment. It's okay to come here to God's house and say, I don't have everything together. Because here is the place where the God who is close to the lowly reaches out to people and welcomes them in to his rest. Finally, stop trying to prove yourself. This is the most laborious work that the world will make us do. In just about every sphere of life, we feel the need to prove ourselves in order to be accepted. We need to study hard to prove our worth as a student. We need to work hard to prove our worth as an employee. We need to train hard and eat right and prove ourselves as an attractive, healthy human. We need to save hard so we can prove ourselves to be a homeowner. We need to work and work and work and work in order to feel like we're accepted by those around us. If this is you this morning, you need to know that here in the Church of Jesus Christ, you do not need to prove yourself. You are accepted, loved, and welcome purely on the basis that Jesus accepts you and welcomes you. You don't have to prove yourself to us. You don't have to prove yourself to him. He has already accepted you as you are and gives you his rest regardless. So we can rest from all of our self-justification. Rosalie Church, I long for us to be a church that rests in Jesus in 2019. I long for us to abandon the idea that everything hinges on us, that we can actually declutter all of the stress out of our lives by simply trusting and resting in him. Rosalie Church, I want us to stop believing that we have to make out that we have got it all together, that we're healthy and strong and perfect. You are loved and you are accepted by the God of this universe, regardless of how bad your life is going. You don't have to pretend and work hard to make it look like you've got it all together. And Rosalie Church, we need to stop trying and striving to prove ourselves in this life. Working and working and working to build an image that we have got it all together. That we are worthy of God's love. That we are worthy of the love of this world. You are accepted and loved and welcome purely on the basis that Jesus has accepted you. So you can rest from that self-justification. Let's pray this morning as we rest in Jesus.